A company of 20 or so is approaching.
I see Bard and the Elven King among them.
And an old man wrapped in cloak and hood who is bearing a strong casket of iron-bound wood.
I suppose they've heard of the coming of Dane. I thought that would alter their mood.
Hail, Thorin. Are you still of the same mind?
My mind does not change with the rising and setting of a few suns. The elf host has not departed. Till then you come in vain to bargain with me.
Is there then nothing for which you would yield any of your gold?
Nothing that you or your friends have to offer.
What of this? The Arkan Stone of Thrain.
Oh.
What's that? That stone was my father's and is mine. How came you to have the heirloom of my house?
We are not thieves. Your own we will give back in return for our own.
How came you by it?
I gave it to them.
No. You! You miserable hobbit! You undersized burglar! By the beard of Durin, I wish I had Gandalf here. Curse him for his choice of you. May his beard wither. As for you, I'll throw you to the rock!
Hey! Your wish is granted! Here is Gandalf, and none too soon, it seems. If you don't like my burglar, please don't damage him. Put him down and listen first to what he has to say.
You all seem in league. Never again will I have dealings with any wizard or his friends. Now, what have you to say, you descendant of rats?
Dear me, this is all very uncomfortable. You may remember saying that I might choose my own 14th share. Take it that I have disposed of my share as I wished and let it go at that.
I will, and I'll let you go at that, and may we never meet again. For the Arkan Stone, I will give 1/14th share of the hoard in silver and gold, setting aside the gems. That shall be accounted the promised share of this traitor! Now get down to your friends or I'll throw you down.
The time was when you seemed to think that I had been of some service. Descendant of rats, indeed.
You are not making a very splendid figure as king under the mountain, Thorin. But things may change yet.
They may indeed.
Farewell, dwarves. We may meet again as friends.
Be off! You have a coat of mail upon you. It was made by my folk, and it is so good for you. It cannot be pierced by arrows, but if you're on hasten, I'll sting your miserable feet. So be swift!
So Bilbo joined Gandalf and Bard, and together they returned to the camp in the valley. That day passed, and the night. The next day the wind shifted west, and the air was dark and gloomy. Runners came to report that Dane and his army of dwarves had come. Each one was clad in a hauberk of steel mail that hung to his knees, and his legs were covered with hose of a fine and flexible metal mesh, the secret of whose making was possessed by Dane's people. The dwarves were exceedingly strong for their height, and in battle they wielded heavy two-handed mattocks. Each of them had also a short broadsword at his side and a round shield slung at his back. Their beards were forked and plaited and thrust into their belts. Their caps were of iron, and they were shod with iron, and their faces were grim. Trumpets called men and elves to arms. Before long, the dwarves could be seen coming into the valley at a great pace. Soon they had advanced along the eastern bank. Suddenly, without a signal, they sprang silently forward to attack. Bows twanged and arrows whistled from the arches hidden above in the rocks of the mountain. Still more suddenly, a darkness came on with dreadful swiftness. A black cloud hurried over the sky. Winter thunder on a wild wind rolled roaring up and rumbled in the mountain, and lightning lit its peak. And beneath the thunder, another blackness could be seen whirling forward, but it did not come with the wind. It came from the north, like a vast cloud of birds, so dense that no light could be seen between their wings. Gandalf, standing alone, with arms uplifted between the advancing dwarves and the ranks awaiting them, cried out in a voice like thunder, and his staff blazed forth with a flash like the lightning.
Halt! Halt! Dread has come upon you all! The goblins are upon you! Balg of the North is coming, O Dane, whose father you slew in Moria! Behold, the bats are above his army like a sea of locusts. They ride upon wolves, and wargs are in their train. Come, there is yet time for counsel. Let Dane come swiftly to us.
So began a battle that none had expected, and it was called the Battle of the Five Armies, and it was very terrible. Upon one side were the goblins and the wild wolves, and upon the other were elves and men and dwarves. The goblins were the foes of all, so the army of Dane, the warriors of the Elven King, and the men who followed Bard took their places at the mountain, hoping to lure the goblins into the valley between the arms of the mountain. On the southern spur, in its lower slopes and in the rocks at its feet, the elves were set. On the eastern spur were men and dwarves. As Gandalf had hoped, the goblin army poured in rage into the valley. Their banners were countless, black and red, and they came on like a tide in fury and disorder. The elves were the first to charge. Their hatred for the goblins is cold and bitter. Their spears and swords shone in the gloom with a gleam of chill flame, so deadly was the wrath of the hands that held them. As soon as the goblin host was dense in the valley, the elves sent against it a shower of arrows, and each flickered as it fled, as if with stinging fire. Behind the arrows, a thousand of their spearmen leapt down and charged. The yells were deafening. The rocks were stained black with goblin blood. Just as the goblins were recovering from the onslaught of the elf charge, there rose from across the valley a deep-throated roar. With cries of Moria and Dane, Dane, the dwarves of the Iron Hills plunged in, wielding their mattocks, and beside them came the men of the lake with long swords. Panic came upon the goblins, and many were flying back down the river to escape from the trap. Many of their own wolves were turning upon them and rending the dead and wounded. But only the first onslaught of the black tide had been stemmed. As the day drew on, a host of wargs came ravening, and with them came the bodyguard of Bolg, goblins of huge size with scimitars of steel. As darkness fell from a stormy sky, great bats swirled about the heads and ears of elves and men, or fastened vampire-like on the stricken. Now Bard was fighting to defend the eastern spur and yet giving slowly back. And the elf lords were at bay about their king upon the southern arm of the mountain. They had forgotten Thorin. Out leapt the king under the mountain and his companions followed him. Hood and cloak were gone. They were in shining armor. And red light leapt from their eyes. In the gloom, the great dwarf gleamed like gold in a dying fire. Wolf and rider fell or fled before them. Thorin wielded his axe with mighty strokes, and nothing seemed to harm him.
To me, elves and men, to me, oh, my kinfolk!
Down rushed all the dwarves of Dane. Down, too, came many of the lake men. And out upon the other side came many of the spearmen of the elves. Once again, the goblins were stricken in the valley, and they were piled in heaps till Dale was dark and hideous with their corpses. But among the goblin dead lay many men and many dwarves, and many a fair elf that should have lived yet long ages merrily in the wood. But Thorin and his followers were too few. Soon the attackers were attacked. The bodyguard of Bolg came howling against them and drove in upon their ranks like waves upon cliffs of sand. On all this, Bilbo looked with misery. He had put on his ring early in the business and vanished from sight, if not from all danger. A magic ring of that sort is not a complete protection in a goblin charge, nor does it stop flying arrows and wild spears. But it does help in getting out of the way, and it prevents your head from being specially chosen for a sweeping stroke by a goblin swordsman.
It will not be long now before the goblins win the gate, and we're all slaughtered or driven down and captured. Really, it's enough to make one weep. I'd rather old Smaug had been left with all the wretched treasure than that these vile creatures should get it. And poor old Bomber and Balin and Feely and Keely and all the rest come to a bad end. And Bard, too. And the lake men and the merry elves.
The clouds were torn by the wind, and a red sunset splashed the west. Seeing the sudden gleam in the gloom, Bilbo looked and saw dark shapes, small yet majestic, against the distant glow.
The eagles! The eagles! The eagles are coming! The
eagles. Soon the elves and dwarves took up the cry, and it echoed across the valley. But at that moment, a stone hurtling from above smote heavily on Bilbo's helm, and he fell with a crash and knew no more.